It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Hopefully everybody's staying warm out there. It's brutally cold. We've got a lot of great football discussion for you today. One reminder, we do have another Black and Gold Breakdown show coming up today. We're going to recap the whole season. Kreider's in there working on some funny lines. He asked me on my way in about a specific, kind of R X-rated word, asking if it was suitable for radio, and I'm like, yeah. So I don't know if he'll use it or not, but that's what he's doing in there. He's coming up with gems to launch torpedoes at the Steelers and Mike Thomas. So that's coming up here now. We got Nathan Forlina in studio. We'll talk a lot about college football, last night's championship game victory by Ohio State over Notre Dame. What'd you think of the game, man? Were you surprised, really, Nathan, by anything that you saw?
So, first of all, it was very hard. As much of a college football fan as I am, it was really hard for me to get into the game. It just felt like, I knew what was going to happen.
Okay.
And that...
You knew Ohio State was going to kick their rears.
I thought it was going to be a lot. Now, I think the score is going to indicate less. I think Ohio State put a whooping on Notre Dame.
The score indicated a nice little comeback by Notre Dame, and you give them credit for that. Ohio State stopped playing football.
Yeah.
But Ohio State kicked their ass. So let's be, it was 31-7. Then Ohio State stopped playing football.
75-80% of that game, they were.
Right.
I mean, you take out that first drive, Notre Dame couldn't do anything until the fourth quarter. So, you know, it was very difficult because, like I said, I had a feeling I knew what was going to happen, and it did transpire. But I guess it's fun to see athletes be athletes, to see a guy like Jeremiah Smith, who is one of the best, if not the best. I think he is personally the best wide receiver in college football. I think he's going to be maybe the number one pick when he comes out. That's how good he is, to see him at work. Will Howard, first of all, do you remember a couple weeks ago after the Michigan loss, you said you'd rather have Kyle McCord than Will Howard? Do you still stand by that?
Yes, I do. I still think Will Howard, but I also would rather have Will Howard than Drew Aller. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Because I would agree with that.
When Will Howard was getting ready to play Penn State, he said, well, they didn't really recruit me, so I guess they didn't think I was good enough. We'll see. Well, Will Howard started 14 of 14?
I think
or was it 12? 13
of 13?
In the national championship game, Drew Aller throws one of the worst interceptions you'll ever see. So, yeah, I will stick by Kyle McCord. The difference, and look, there's a lot of different discussion points we can have here. The difference is Ohio State just has great talent everywhere. You have to be able to – what if Drew Aller had Jeremiah Smith? What if? What if Drew Aller had Jeremiah Smith and Tyler Warren? Is it conceivable that Drew Aller's 13 for 13 in the national championship game? I don't think necessarily Will Howard's a great quarterback, but I think when you have Emeka Buka as a potential first-round draft pick, okay, then you've got – a great offensive line. So you see what I'm getting at?
Yes.
If we transition Drew Aller into that offense, as overrated as I think Drew Aller is, when you have people around you, it makes for different discussions.
Yeah, and that's been the knock on Ohio State and Alabama quarterbacks, it feels like, for the last 10, 15 years, is because of all the elite talent they have on the outside, all their weapons at their disposal. People think, and a lot of times it does happen, they transition to the NFL and they struggle. There's a few outliers. C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young's kind of starting to find his footing right now. But rarely do you actually see those Ohio State. I mean, Fields really hasn't clicked yet. I mean, Fields still is a work in progress, I think. But it's really tough to find those Ohio State. That's why I don't think Will Howard is necessarily a great quarterback. I think he is draftable. I think he is a guy that can play in the NFL. I don't know if he's an elite quarterback in the NFL, but I do like Will Howard. I thought he proved a lot, and I thought, especially with his legs, in which coming out of Kansas State when he transferred in, all I knew was that he was a runner. I knew that that was kind of his MO, was the fact that he's a run-first guy, and I thought he was able to make throws when it mattered. It wasn't like the Michigan game and really the Penn State game to an extent where he wasn't able to pass the ball. I mean, against one of the best secondaries, in my opinion, the best secondary in the country with Notre Dame, he was able to make plays. And he, granted, of course, the talent he has helps out. But, I mean, still at the end of the day, you got to put the ball where it needs to be. And there's a couple throws, whether it's in routes and stuff like that, he put right on the money. And receivers made great plays on it, but he put it where only his receiver can get the ball.
And I was not aware of this. I just looked. Will Howard right now is projected to be a 5th to 6th round quarterback, overall rank 129th.
I think he'll be a 2nd or 3rd rounder. That's my guess.
You think Will Howard goes 2nd or 3rd round?
Because I think number one.
The best spot anybody has him at is. I'm seeing like a top 100. He's number 100 overall prospect according to mock draft database. Now that varies for quarterbacks. The reason I was going to say is Kyle McCord is 171st. Will Howard is 129th.
He will go ahead.
Kyle McCord is 106. But here's the thing. I find it interesting that you chose that particular argument because Will Howard was good. But they had a $20 million roster. Okay, they have a $20 million roster. And I was seeing people kind of losing their mind last night saying that this is, you know, the greatest college football team of all time. Better than 2019 LSU, better than 2001 Miami, whatever it was,
yeah,
that
01.
Team that had all those crazy draft picks. Well, okay, again, that 2001 Miami, you know the quarterback of the 2001 Miami team?
I actually have no idea.
Ken Dorsey. You know who quarterback of the 2019 LSU team was?
Joe Burrow.
Exact. So sometimes when we think about quarterbacks with great teams, you can be on it. I think you brought this up a couple weeks ago, and this is well before your time. The Chicago Bears are remembered as one of the most memorable teams, the 85 Bears, in all of football history. Their quarterback was Vince McMahon.
Vince McMahon
had wrestling on the line. Jim McMahon was a decent NFL quarterback, but by no means a great NFL quarterback. If you're talented overall like Ohio State is, this is why everybody thought Ohio State going into the year, $20 million roster, they were going to have a chance to win. Can Penn State keep up with something like that with a $12 to $13 million roster? That's one of the things we're going to discuss today as well. Because, again, there are people out there that say Penn State's got the quarterback to do it. Well, I would take Will Howard over Drew Aller. I honestly would. To me, Drew Aller still has not shown enough as a college quarterback consistency-wise. But if Drew Aller transferred today, he'd get $4 to $5 million from somebody. I feel confident. You know where Drew Aller is on the preseason Heisman odds for next year?
I think you said 3rd or 4th.
Right now he's 6th. Of today, going into next year, he's the 6th. That's comical to me. That's absolutely laughable to me, given the fact that he broke 17 quarterback rules, or else Penn State would have been playing last night.
I will say, first of all, preseason Heisman odds are always horrendous.
They're terrible.
You never get the correct guy. I mean, I wonder who was even the Heisman winner this year?
Travis Hunter.
Yeah, he was like plus 6,000.
Yeah, but people thought there was a chance him and Shador. I'd like to look at the odds.
I think I would bet Shador is probably the leading.
Probably favorite. So. Yeah, because you're a quarterback.
Yeah, maybe Dylan Gabriel was up there too.
Dylan Gabriel was up there.
Cam Ward, I'm sure, had some steam, but nothing crazy. But anyways, regardless, Ohio State quarterbacks, and especially with Drew Aller and Will Howard, I don't know who I'd rather have between the two. I think Aller is more gifted, but I think Will Howard's proved it more. I mean, not your national championship.
Yeah, Aller has, and this is, again, folks, 9460435. I wanted to give the number out because we got a lot of different ways we can discuss last night's game for this season, for Ohio State, from Penn State's perspective. How close do you think Penn State is? There are a lot of different factors there. A lot of Penn State fans feel really, really, really good.
Well, I'll say, Scott Van Pelt last night, I was watching the postgame, he was talking about how Penn State feels like this Ohio State team where they have a ton of guys coming back buying in.
Yes.
I don't think they're as talented as Ohio State is, but he's right. I think teams that have this chemistry in which Penn State is doing this where they're able to bring back Catron Allen, Nick Singleton, Drew Aller, you're able to
the run it back thing. That's what people are doing. Michigan did it a couple years ago. Ohio State didn't run it back. Ohio State brought back good players and then bought a whole bunch of other really good players.
Yeah, so Ohio State had a ton of senior leadership, whether it was Will Howard, who is a senior, or you had guys on the defense who were second and third round picks between JTT and Jack Sawyer, those guys coming back and able to lead the program in the correct direction, I think that matters a lot. And I think Penn State has a lot of that, but I just don't know if they have enough of it where you need – I feel like you still need a favorable path for them because I don't trust them to win four. Because Ohio State
who
did have to
could
be
the
four.
Number one draft pick off that Ohio State team at some point?
Jeremiah Smith.
Penn State have that guy?
Do I think they win the national championship?
Does Penn State have that guy?
Does Penn State? Absolutely not.
Does Penn State have a guy at wide receiver? Like any guy? Do they have any guy at wide receiver?
They do not have a guy.
And so when we talk – look, I do feel really good that Penn State is going to have a top 5-7 chance logistically to win a title. But until they have that guy – and this year, again, the numbers – it was close to until the end and it actually finished this way – Tyler Warren had more catches than all of the wide receivers combined. I think Tyler was at 104, and all of the wide receivers on the entire roster were 102.
That's pitiful.
Well, Luke Reynolds is supposed to be a nice young tight end. Is he going to catch 104 passes? Are these? So when we talk about should you feel really good about what Penn State's got coming back? Absolutely. You've got 2,000-yard running backs. You've got one of the most talented quarterbacks in college football, but yet still one of the more inconsistent and maddening quarterbacks in college football in Drew Aller. Can he take a gigantic step next year? What I was going to say was Penn State's three losses were to Ohio State, the national champion, by 7. To Notre Dame, the national runner-up, by 3 in a game that I would have to feel 80% of people in this area probably feel Penn State's the better team than Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. And their other loss was to Oregon, which, this is funny. Did you know that Oregon can claim to be the national champion?
Is it because of that beating everybody? Or
Oregon finished the season in the Wolf ratings. It's one of those computer ratings like KenPom or the Sagarin.
Yeah.
But apparently the Wolf ratings are considered like a major calculative formula for college football.
Okay.
Oregon's number one. Ohio
Congratulations,
State. Ohio
Dan
State's number two.
Congratulations, Dan Lanning.
So
you're a national champion.
Theoretically, UCF claimed a national title.
Yeah.
Theoretically, and you go back in the history of college football, way before they had tournaments and things like that, and the national champion was really subject. Like Pitt, I'm pretty sure Pitt claims 9 national titles. You just rolled your eyes. Penn State's got 2, but the old school Pitt fans will tell you that, oh, Pitt said so. But that's how funny these claimed national titles are. But yeah, so theoretically, Oregon could claim that. I've got a question I want to ask Nathan and all you folks. One very, very, very specific and unusual, is it bothersome type of situation from last night's national championship game? Nathan, I didn't mention this to Nathan yet because I want an honest, natural response to what I say. And hopefully we can get some feedback from some of you guys because this is a very interesting component about sports nowadays. I'm going to take a break, share the question, give you the phone number, see what you think.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
J&P Auto Mart knows you hate the snow, but when it snows, you save at J&P Auto Mart. J&P Auto Mart has more trucks than any other used car lot in 3 counties, along with SUVs and all-wheel drive cars. You've already had a taste of winter, and you know you need a reliable car, truck, or SUV. Get to J&P Auto Mart. They have trades and discount accordingly. When it snows, you save at J&P Auto Mart. 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Hey, I got you something.
What's this?
Just a little Galentine's gift from JTV.
Do you mean jewelry television? I love their jewelry. They have the
new customers get $25 off their first purchase of $75 or more. Visit jtv.com/romance.
And their artisan collections? Gorgeous.
Are you going to open your gift?
Oh, yeah. It's the pearl bracelet.
New customers receive $25 off their first purchase of $75 or more. Visit jtv.com/romance.
All right, we got a lot of different things we can discuss about the national championship game yesterday. If you want to join us, 946-0435. Here's one that I find to be a pretty fascinating tangential topic. Nathan, you ready for this?
I'm ready to hear it.
After the game, Kirk Herbstreit was crying on national TV.
Correct.
For those who did not know this, I wasn't really aware of this. I didn't watch the post game. I wasn't aware of this until about 4 hours ago. After the game, during a national television broadcast, the number one college football broadcaster in this country was crying. Actually crying, actual tears on national television with joy about Ohio State winning the national title. This was fascinating to me for a lot of different reasons. And I've gone back. I'm going to play you the clip from – let's go ahead and play you the clip from Kirk Herbstreit right now. I want you to have all the information about what was going on. This is Kirk on Pat McAfee today. Explaining why he was crying on national TV as a broadcaster.
Like, I think he gets it. So I think he last night, and obviously let the world know how you actually feel, as opposed to just being these baby blue eyes in a suit calling a game. You're an Ohio guy. You're a former president of Ohio. Your kid's on that team. I really appreciated what you did. And did you know it was coming? When did you know you weren't going to be able to hold it in? And How do you feel after a situation like this happens on national television, Kirk?
I only know how I feel at the time. That's not something you think about or predict. It's just, it was almost like a perfect storm for me. My son had heart failure 2 years ago. They were talking about a heart replacement there for a while. And he had to medically retire. And Ryan Day, I think the gratitude I have for Ryan Day putting his arms around Zach and keeping him involved, he's almost like a GA with what he was doing. And Ryan insisted on putting his arms around him, Chip Kelly, all these guys. So there was that side of it, looking down and seeing him in his jersey after, you know, potentially facing, replacing your heart to that. I haven't really talked about this publicly, but you know, Allie, my wife, faced some stuff. It's been a tough year for me behind the scenes. My wife had got diagnosed with breast cancer. You know, Ben dies. It was just it's a lot of emotion. And when you do what we do, you endure. You know, you do your job. And I think what happened, couldn't predict it, but when they won, I was so happy for Ryan Day and those players that I just talked about, because of what they faced and all the stuff behind the scenes. It was almost like, I don't know, maybe a release of all that penned up stuff. And it just got the best of me. I don't I'm an emotional guy in general, you know, and when things touch my heart, I'm not good at talking, you know, when that happens. And Scott came to me, I was already.
All right. So there's the gist of it. I have not asked anyone around me personally today. I've read a lot of comments on social media. Anybody that wants to weigh in on that, 946-0435. Nathan, before I give you any kind of opinion of mine, I will just throw out open-ended question. Kirk Herbstreit's crying on national TV about Ohio State winning the national title.
All right, so I saw this live last night when this was happening, and I was kind of like, I was on my phone, kind of like just listening to SVP in the background, and I heard him like start to tear. I'm like, what is going on? So like I listened in, and like he's talking about this team and all that, and then I listened to him on Mac. I listen to McAfee pretty much every day. I was listening to him on the show explaining this earlier. So I think for me, I don't have a problem with it whatsoever because—
Did you have a problem last night?
No, I didn't. Because
you didn't know this stuff about his wife.
So the wife stuff, right. I didn't know. I knew about his son a little bit. I didn't know he had heart failure and all that stuff, but I knew he was medically retired or whatever. But I think what he more than ever was crying about, because I've also listened to him and he's talked about this on McAfee last month or so. After that Ohio State loss to Michigan, I think he's really crying for Ryan Day because he's so happy that now everything can settle down, because he had to have an armed guard outside his house 24 hours because, you know, people are threatening to kill him after losing to Michigan and all that stuff. And, I mean, I understand it's your job, but it is a game at the end of the day, and no one's alive should be in jeopardy after losing a football game. And I think he's crying for him, his family, because his family's relieved of that. I mean, if I put myself in the position, if I was Ryan Day's kid right now, I wouldn't know what to do because I'm going to school and or work or whatever they're doing, and these people are just yelling stuff at me because my dad lost a football game to Michigan. I think that's why he's getting emotional more than anything. And obviously this year for him sucked, whether it was losing Ben or his wife. I didn't know about his wife. He didn't talk about it publicly. But all that stuff, I think, just was so overwhelmed. And to see his alma mater, his son, win a national championship, and the guy he's probably really close with, Ryan Day, probably has conversations with him daily, to kind of get over that hump and maybe tread, just kind of everything just kind of will fall silent for a little bit, and him able to live normally for a little bit. I think that's why he started tearing up and eventually crying.
So all the personal stuff for you makes it okay.
I think it's okay in that situation, yeah.
He is the face of college football coverage for a network that is biased beyond belief.
Yeah.
If you don't believe in ESPN's bias and ABC's bias, and then him doing that solidified an incredible level of personal bias. If you are a gigantic Alabama or Georgia fan or Texas fan or Oklahoma, and look, a lot of them are okay with what Kirk Herbstreit did, does doing that not give credence to your opinion that he's so unbelievably biased that it brings his credibility into question anytime he says anything about any other team besides Ohio State?
I mean, I think that's with pretty much anybody on that panel. I would say Nick Saban's biased toward the SEC. I think everybody's biased in some sort of way.
Right.
Dez is biased towards Michigan. Right. Like, everybody's biased.
Todd Blackledge is biased toward Penn State.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I have zero problem with this.
This is why it's a great question. This is why it's a great discussion. Because what you just said is absolutely right. And this is why I have a big problem with it when James Franklin said that Nick Saban should be the commissioner of college football. That's ludicrous to me, because Nick Saban would be biased toward mm-hmm. Alabama and the SEC. And just about anybody you would find. I mean, in any broadcast, Scott Van Pelt's one of the lead broadcasters. How much does he talk about Maryland, for God's sake? Maryland this, Maryland that. Yeah. Scott Van Pelt's a huge Maryland fan. So this is why I thought this would be a good discussion between you and I. because a month ago I got on to you for saying we when it came to Penn State, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but why would I do that? This is just local sports talk radio. Why would I care if you say we
with regards to Penn State?
Well, my view, my background from a journalism standpoint is you don't say we unless you're on the team. You know, you're not on the team,
I slipped out, and I agree with you. I do agree. No, that you don't say
but I'm not admonishing you. Yeah. I'm saying that I have a big problem with this we notion of sports media, that the bias has gotten so large that you're not getting it. You're not getting that back, that toothpaste back in the tube. And my issue with Herb Street last night is I think this opened the door and the floodgates for people to just come rushing through with their own personal bias. For me personally, he shouldn't have been calling the game. If he feels that way about Ryan Day, he should not have been calling the game. Now, again, I've been in sports media for 30 years. Here's an example. Paul Zeiss from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, very well-known reporter in Pittsburgh. He covered Pitt football for a long time. Then his kid signed and played for Pitt, Elijah Zeiss. And Paul Zeiss pulled himself from the Penn State beat for a few years while his kid was on the team. Because that's – can't cover a team that your kid's on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my background. That's my background in sports media, is that if your family involvement is such that you clearly have a favorite. Now, that's why I played the clip first. I played the clip before I gave any opinions on this. I let Nathan have his opinions. Because I am a human being. I'm not some robot. If the guy's wife has breast cancer and his dog died, I don't care about his dog. I really don't. Lots of people lose their dogs. The fact that Ben Herbstreit was the face of college football and everybody, you know, I didn't really care. You know, I didn't get national support when my dogs died. You know, so that part of everybody, lots of people's their dogs die. And
Joe Biden didn't write you a letter?
You move on from it. Okay, but. The stuff with his wife, and I get, but I just can't. I can't help but think about when something big happens in college football. The first person we go to is Kirk Herbstreit for his opinion, and whether he's talking about who should be in the playoff, seeding in the playoff, all that kind of stuff. And when you know for a fact that one guy clearly has that level of favoritism about one team, does it taint whatever else? Look, Desmond Howard does game day. I'm not sure he does really anything else. I don't know.
He's on First Take every once in a while, but
so
nothing crazy.
Him being an unabashed Michigan fan is still limited quantity. Nick Saban doesn't call games. So Kirk Herbstreit has a longstanding tradition. He doesn't pick the game that he's calling. Is that still correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So all these people will pick all of their they'll pick the game. Penn State versus Ohio State, Michigan versus blah, they all. But if Kirk Herbstreit is calling the game that night, he will not give a pick for fear of bias.
Mm-hmm.
So you see what I'm getting at, that are there any lines anymore? Are there any – you brought up a great point that all these guys are biased. Is there any line of being able to try – look, I'm going to throw out fake news here. That's not a phrase I use lightly at all. I hate that phrase because news is news. But – if you've got a guy that's crying because his team won a title, can you truly believe that guy when he's talking about any other team other than his team?
That's tough because I've listened to Kirk a lot, especially on McAfee and stuff like that over the last 3-4 years. I do think he is fairly unbiased. I think he gives Ohio State criticism. I think if you look back, you can find it. I think he does criticize Ohio State on certain things. Then he also does, he does with every team pretty much. So it's tough for me to say because I think Kirk is, I know you don't like him. I think he's a pretty solid.
No, player. That's, I never said that. I think,
you say he doesn't give criticism.
I don't really think that he criticizes anybody. Yeah. I mean, other than when the Steelers, when he said, you know, where the hell's the fight when the Steelers were playing the Ravens, I really, look, I give Kirk credit. He pretty much calls things down the middle. I give him credit. He's not Joel Klatt.
Yeah.
I would much prefer Joel Klatt, who will criticize you during a game. But this Nathan, is the issue. Okay, if Penn State's playing Ohio State and you feel like Kirk is just criticizing Penn State for various things, which he really doesn't. He kisses Penn State's ass as much as anybody,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, he's a secret Penn State
but
fan.
But what if he says something about Penn State? Does a little light not go off in the back of your mind of, why isn't he saying the same thing about Ohio State?
I think it could be said with pretty much, because I think every team especially has their flaws. And I think
no other broadcaster, as far as I know, has ever been seen on national TV.
No,
ever,
I agree.
In the history of sports, crying.
That's
what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about Desmond Howard picking Michigan over everybody. I'm talking about crying.
Yes.
On national TV. Crying, Nathan.
Yes.
He's crying because he's so happy for Ryan Day, who helped his family.
I think he's crying more because he's relieved for it. I don't think it's because of the national. I think it's because of, as a person, he knows what Ryan Day's life is going to be. It's going to be drastically different. I think that's why he's crying. I think he did say it. It was crying more out of relief rather than pure joy of his team winning. Right. That's my opinion, though.
Chuck in Unionville, this is interesting. And by the way, anybody want to weigh in on this? If you think I'm way off base, look, I'm trying to be a human being. I do understand emotions come into play. But I'm old school. Nathan's 20. I'm 51. This would never have been done. Not in a trillion lifetimes.
Yes.
This would have never been done in the past. Never before. Mm-hmm. But we seem to be okay with it nowadays. Chuck, what do you think?
You know, you're 51. This is one of your get that dog off my lawn moments for you.
Yeah.
Let me say this, Corey. You know, we'd all like to think we live in an age where the guy's going, you know, has a wife with breast cancer and son and this and all, that there's room for people being human with emotion. The problem, I think, that maybe what you're getting at here is sports are supposed to be as unbiased as an even playing field as anything that we do in life. And if there's any hint of anything that is an uneven playing field, then you know as a fan, you don't have a chance. And I think the difficulty here is when you have the competitive nature of college football and throw in the transfer portal, throw in, you know, national recruiting for the teams that are going to make and get high up into this playoff system. And then you throw in things like name, image, and likeness money. And I'm still stunned to hear your conversation last week that Ohio State's got $20 million in NIL money to throw around. And for whatever reason, Penn State's got a cap of like 12. In that ultra-competitive nature for talent, man, you know, anything that could throw something one team's way. Because as you take a look at that Penn State game or losing to Ohio State, it's a matter of if you are recruiting cornerbacks that run 4.4s and Ohio State's able to recruit the wide receivers that are running 4.35s, you're probably not going to win that game because it only comes down to a matter of a couple of plays. And you can do that positionally. So if there's anything at all that gives any team an extra edge in this environment that you've got money thrown around and an ability of these kids to move anywhere they want at any given time, I'll tell you what, as a Penn State fan, that should give you pause.
A big part of this, and again, I will admit because my background is such that no matter what you're covering, you're supposed to be able to separate your human emotion from it. a big part of this for me is that how do fans of other teams perceive this whole thing? Because that's what life is. Life is about perception. If I'm a Georgia or Penn State fan and I see a broadcaster crying on TV about a team winning, I am going to think about, if that guy ever says something about my team, is he biased against my team because he doesn't have the same level of interest in his own team? Now, Nathan's point earlier was very good. These guys, there's so many athletes. They all have their bias. It's going to be interesting just in the future with all these guys going to 3 and 4 and 5 different colleges where their bias is going to be. Is their bias going to be with their final school? Is their bias going to be with their third school or their first school?
Will Howard's going to be Kansas State or is it going to be Ohio State?
Absolutely. That's a great point. So, but for me, again, it just comes down to we live in a changed world. I try not to marry a philosophy or whatever. I'm just saying that this would have never been done in the past. Now, A-Dog sent me a message that says that Bob Greasy cried in the booth son won the Rose Bowl back in the day. And I responded to him, he shouldn't have been calling that game either. Because I remember having conversations with Neil Ordell 20 years ago about why is Bob Greasy calling games that his son's in. You have a problem with a guy calling a game that his son is in?
When his son is in, especially his starting quarterback position, I think at that point. Because with Kirk's thing, at least his son he's basically a GA, like he was saying. So it's a little bit different. But if your son's a starting quarterback, I can see how there's maybe a little bit of bias, especially, again, at the position of quarterback whenever every single play pretty much revolves around you offensively.
Chuck, let me give you one last word on this. And again, Kirk really sucks up to Penn State. He has. Kirk, of all the national analysts.
Because I think Kirk understands James Franklin. I think he's very much a people guy.
I think it's easy for Penn State fans to like Kirk Herbstreit because he sucks up to them so much. It was Kirk Herbstreit that put the student section on the map 10 years ago by saying it was the number one student section in the country. And it is. But if you're a Penn State, what if Kirk starts to criticize Penn State? Do you ever... Is it ever worthy of looking at Kirk Herbstreit, saying, of course he's going to say that. He's just thinking about it from an Ohio State perspective.
Well, I think that will run into people's minds. And sports, for as long as you and I have known it, Corey, has worked to keep that bias out of it because it needs to come down to what's happening on the field. And although Kirk calling the game, this doesn't necessarily affect what happens in the field at the moment. It affects people's perceptions. And again, I come back to, I'm stunned these days. The more I talk about college football, it's worse than free agency in the NFL or any sport, for that matter. And I was sitting here thinking about Penn State getting as far as they have, and in many ways, hats off to James Franklin. But for the health, we talked about the health of the university, and that health of the university is going to come down to the health of your football program. And your football program is going to need to now be competitive on so many other different levels. And that comes down to perception. And where does that perception originate? And sports has always worked to make sure that they've removed any bias outside of what happens between the talent on the field. And I think that becomes critical moving forward.
Yeah. Very good, buddy. Appreciate the call. 946-0435. I just think it's a fascinating discussion because times have changed. There's so much bias now, as Nathan alluded to very early on. Every broadcaster that you see has some they don't hide it anymore. Nobody hides it anymore. Back in the day when you didn't have as many games on TV, first of all, that meant you didn't have as many broadcasters on TV and former players who are broadcasters, and it was just traditionally more of these random TV kind of people, okay? And they would kind of hide. You're not going to see Chris Fowler crying on TV.
Yeah.
You think Chris Fowler's going to be crying on TV if Penn State wins?
No, he would not be.
You think... I'm trying to think of Gus Johnson. Gus Johnson might be crying. He might start screaming so loud.
He's a Ohio State fan, so he might be. Right, he might have been crying yesterday.
And that's the whole point, is that this notion. And look, I'm not saying I'm right here or wrong or that anybody that is saying it's okay that he's crying is wrong. I just think it's a very interesting. I think we're in a very interesting time.
It was weird.
Never seen it before. And I was taken aback as somebody that's done broadcasting for 20 years, been in the sports media for 30 years. I can't imagine any sports writer ever doing this. Neil Riddell's covered Penn State for 45 years, longer than anybody that's covered Penn State ever, and probably as long as anybody's ever covered any school in this country, except for maybe Sid Hartman, who covered Minnesota for about 70 years, a legend out there. But I can't imagine Neil crying when Penn State wins a national championship, if Penn State wins a national. It is so far removed from what but 70 to 75% of the people on the Penn State beat probably went to Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
50% of them were probably sitting in the student section at some point. So Kirk Herbstreit played quarterback at Ohio State. His kid is there. So I see all the connections. It's just that where I'm coming from in sports journalism, I didn't think we'd ever get to this point where people are actually crying on TV.
Yes, I know personally, I don't think I'd ever cry over a sports team winning. That's just how I am. Like, I'd be pumped up if Penn State was winning the national championship. I wouldn't break down in tears. But
how many of your teams have won titles?
Really, the only one the Steelers won it. Like, I have very hazy memories of the 2009 Super Bowl against the Cardinals.
So none.
So really, the Penguins were the only ones. 16,
are you
17.
A huge Penguins fan?
I mean, at that time, I cared a lot more about hockey, and that was a Villanova fan in 2016. I've always kind of liked Villanova.
Yeah, but see, you're throwing fan around. I'm talking about living and dying this stuff. Like, you never miss a game. Like, did you watch 80 Penguins games that year?
I might have.
Okay, and this was 7, so you were about 13 or 14. So did that mean a lot to you?
Yeah, I remember I was 11, 12, 13.
And you still didn't cry then?
No, I didn't cry. I was pumped up. I remember calling my dad.
Here's the difference. I lived and died my team sports for a long time. I not a single one of my teams won a title until I was 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to wait. So you bet your ass I cried when Syracuse won the national title in 03 with Carmelo Anthony. I waited 30 years for it. So I do think there are a lot. But I've also said a lot of people who are from here are so unbelievably spoiled. If you think about all of the championships, now we're going on some droughts here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but all the championships won by the Steelers, Pirates, Penn State,
especially
Penguins.
If you grew up in the, let's say you were a kid in the 60s and
absolutely.
70s.
Absolutely.
I mean, you had the Steel Curtain.
Joe Paterno's. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Joe Paterno's glory days. You had
you still have the Penn State wrestling.
You had Penn State wrestling. You would have the Pirates actually winning at that point. 79 was the last time. So
let's go with the Clarkster. Clarkster's an old school guy. You got any issue with a national broadcaster crying?
No. I'm sure in the press box at Penn State, the writers were probably pumping their fist at times during games when Penn State does something.
No.
They're human.
You're wrong. You want to call me a liar? No, they're not. I promise you. They're doing it internally. That's the difference. That's the difference that I'm trying to relay here. Do I think that a gigantic portion of the Penn State beat is rooting for Penn State? Absolutely. Yeah. Have I ever seen anyone pump their fist? No. Not a single instance, and I'm talking thousands of different people in press boxes over time. But so that, I guess that's probably what I'm trying to relay, and I'm not doing a good, I'm seeing outwardly doing this. If Kirk Herbstreit is so beside himself with joy that Ohio State won, okay, I can get that.
Yeah,
to actually cry, to take it to that level is I guess where I'm taken back by it.
Well, the taking back, it's not a level playing field anyway. You just brought up about the previous caller with the NIL and the amount of money that's being spent. They had to win it. I mean, come on, the amount of money. How will people feel if they're forced to disclose this stuff? And if it becomes like the pros, and you're now hearing
What if we hear that Kirk Herbstreit donated $1 million to Ohio State's NIL? What if we start hearing that kind
Kirk
of stuff?
Actually bought Caleb Downs to Columbus from
all that. What if we start hearing that stuff, Clarkson? That'd be some juicy stuff.
Would be.
Yeah, well, the other thing is they may be declared employees, and if they're employed by the school, much like the issue with Paterno's salary, you know, and everything, you can't keep it under wraps. You're going to hear all this stuff.
Okay, but the bottom line, so you don't take any issue with him crying, right?
No, he's human.
Okay, very good. I got a bunch of calls on this. This is actually taking a lot. Caller number two, you're an Ohio State fan. I'm sure you're probably not surprised to see Herb Street crying, but you're also an old school sports fan. Did it seem odd to you in any way?
When he started crying.
Yes.
I felt bad for him because the history on that is that he actually left Columbus under a cloud because of how the fans were treating him.
Death threats.
And he knows what Day has gone through. I think he's close to Day and his family. And, you know, when you're getting death threats and stuff, I think that shook him up that he got caught up in the moment.
So let me ask, is Kirk Herbstreit the only person that would get a free pass on this because of all? Is there any other broadcaster who would get a free pass who hasn't gone through death threats, who wasn't forced to leave the city, whose kid isn't on the team and almost needed a new heart? Is there any other broadcast, or is Kirk Herbstreit just so isolated because of all of his connections that we're okay if he starts crying? But what if Penn State loses to Ohio State and somebody, some other Ohio, and Joey Galloway has a history of saying crazy things. What if he starts crying with joy that Ohio State beats Penn State? Are Penn State fans going to be okay with that?
I wouldn't think so. But he lost his dog, too. You know that. So he's probably an emotional train wreck right now, Kirk.
Yeah. I'm not trying to be insensitive.
I think that's how Kirk is, but I think Kirk, and he said it, he's a very emotional person.
Yeah.
And some people are about that. I'm not.
Nathan, is there anybody else that would get this kind of free pass? Or is he just at the top because of all of his rainbow of connections with Ohio State that he can be forgiven? But if Todd Blackledge starts crying, if Penn State wins a national title, is he going to get that kind of free pass?
Off the top of my head, I was trying to think. I don't know. I know Jewel Klatt is vocal about Deion and Colorado, and like he says that he's like, listen, I'm internally biased towards the Buffaloes. Obviously, I'm going to call their games fair whenever I'm calling them, but like I want them to do well. I'm not saying that. Like I'm a boot. Like I.
But he wasn't forced to. He doesn't get death threats or anything like
that.
He doesn't have that kind of connection.
I think Kirk has been through a ton with the Ohio State fan base and the Ohio State people. So it's really tough. That's why I don't take a problem to him crying. I just don't. I don't think it should become a norm. I think if you're
okay with it in this particular situation with this particular person and these particular set of things that have gone on.
I always hate.
Because what if this starts happening a lot, man?
If it starts happening a lot, it's like, okay, now we're overdoing it. But
am I still on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, you know who I want to start crying is Feinbaum.
That'd be nice, actually. I don't like Feinbaum. Look,
I'd love for him to cry.
Why? Why don't you like Feinbaum? Because he's unbelievably biased toward the SEC.
He's like,
right? And now,
oh my God, absolutely.
He doesn't hide it at all.
He doesn't.
In
that's
no
why,
way, shape, or form does he hide it at all.
That's why I think.
Is it not then somewhat reasonable for an outsider to think that maybe Kirk Herbstreit is really more biased toward Ohio State than we ever thought?
If you don't listen to him a ton, you don't kind of listen to how he talks, I think then you could perceive that.
Right.
So that's why I think also I've listened to him a ton, so I might have a little more background in it.
Yep.
So I'm not an expert on Kirk Herbstreit's life, but I have listened to him.
I'm pretty sure Feinbaum's never cried after Alabama won national titles, though.
He probably hasn't. He was probably close after the loss in Michigan, though, I'll tell you that.
That's good.
Martin Truex Jr. will attempt to race in next month's Daytona 500, running for Tricon Garage. Martin technically is retired from full-time racing and technically hasn't missed a race yet with this attempt after closing out his career back at Phoenix. Look for Martin to drive the number 56 machine owned by former driver David Gilliland. His longtime crew chief Cole Pearn will also come out of retirement to call the shots atop the box. And that pair, by the way, have 24 Cup Series wins together, including 4 championship 4 appearances and a championship. Kyle Larson continues to lock in his legacy as one of the best and most versatile racers in the history of motorsports. On Saturday night at the Tulsa Expo Raceway, Kyle started from the pole and led all 40 laps on his way to his third Chili Bowl Nationals win, saying, quote, "Yeah, it was just a very difficult racetrack to run the line that I was running. It comes with a lot of reward with the risk that you're taking," end quote. By the way, Christopher Bell also raced in this one and finished 10th. Martin Truex Jr. and Ryan Truex's dad has died. A statement from Martin Truex Jr., Ryan Truex, Marcia McVay, and the Truex family. Quote, "We are devastated by the loss of our father, Martin Truex Sr. Simply put, he was our hero and a great man. We appreciate everyone's thoughts and prayers and ask for privacy at this time," end quote. Martin was 66. This is the final lap.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. And right now, you're going to pay for groceries. But you decide what groceries. Just keep in mind, you're running out of dishwashing soap. But you decide if you're going to buy that soap. Just those dishes won't clean themselves, will they? Remember, with Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then, you're in charge. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline. So I took control with Garlic Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlic helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste-free, and Garlic is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlic Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
All right, we want to thank our sponsor each and every day, J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. You're heading out to a game or hunting trip, fishing trip, going to hang out with some friends. Stop by J.M. Boswell first, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. We had a good discussion. We're going to join us on the Kirk Herbstreit thing. We got only a couple minutes left. We got a lot of good calls on there, 946-0435. And I just want to get, you said something off the air, Nathan, about this was the best college football season that you can remember. It was pretty wild.
Yeah, I think you think about the ups and downs of it. Obviously, whenever Penn State does well, again, this is kind of your bias creeping in, but it turns out to be a pretty good year. I think they took a big step forward. And even around here, there's a ton of Notre Dame fan. Notre Dame kind of really for the first time since 2012 felt like they could compete. So you had those aspects of the local team and, of course, a pretty big team around here. Then just the national stage, I mean, think about it. Vanderbilt upset Alabama after Alabama beat Georgia. I think I remember that October 5th day because the week after, everybody was looking October 12th, get all these marquee matchups. Then the week beforehand, you had Georgia, Alabama, and then this was kind of sandwiched between, which it was kind of like a down week. No one thought anything of it. And you had like three top 10 teams, and I think lose to unranked teams. It was just, from start to finish, it was crazy. I loved it. I hope every year is like this. And we said it too, the best team still won at the end of the day. So as much craziness as we got, and we thought, hey, listen, you know, this could all turn upside down if, you know, Notre Dame or maybe Indiana goes on run, someone that you wouldn't expect to win the national. At the end of the day, you got the national champion, what should be at the same time the entertainment factor of so many upsets and so many different stories and different players getting their shot to shine.
One of my big takeaways is that the College Football Playoff Committee seeded them 8th. I thought it was stupid at the time. I thought they should have been seeded ahead of Penn State. Obviously, they were really, really good. But the people whose job it is to seed these people based on who they think is the best team, thought that Ohio State was the eighth best team off of one ridiculous second half against Michigan. So the college football, and this is my trouble going into the future about the playoff, is so much is going to depend on who these people put in the tournament, what to begin with, and where they seed them, because seeding does matter. And I still look back and think, how in the world was Ohio State seeded below Penn State? Did it beat on the road?
Yeah, I think what we've learned is that both strength of schedule and head-to-head really don't matter.
They don't.
So we'll kind of wait and see if that factor. It's more about, you know, how you looked on the field and your record at the end of the day. And I think
can't lose late. Ohio State lost
can't
late.
Lose late because
that's
if,
a big deal.
If Ohio State lost week one to Michigan, guess what? They would probably be 5 or 6, I'd imagine. I mean, I guess they were technically ranked 5 or 6, but their seeding reflected 8, so they would have been 5 or 6. They would have been above Penn State, is what I'm trying to say, if they end up losing that game to Michigan week 2, week 3, or something like that.
All right. Let's see. The AP poll came out today.
Penn State finished 5th.
Finished 5th in the coaches' poll as well. We'll take a break, wrap things up after this.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Howdy, the old farmer here. You know, from the almanac. You know this wonderful snowy winter we're having that I predicted? Well, it's going to bring a plentiful growing season for farmers like me and for lawn and gardens like yours. Many don't understand what winter can do for growth, but the McCoy family and McCoy's Lawn and Garden in Roaring Spring does. Just go to McCoy'sLawnAndGarden.com and check out their full selection of the Kubota BX Series tractors and lawn equipment. Kubota is the only real choice for mowing, spreading, plowing, digging, planting. Whatever you need, the Kubota BX Series can handle. The Kubota BX Series is the brand that you know and trust, with easier operation, superior comfort, and a new, simpler system for attaching and detaching Kubota implements, so you can switch jobs like a pro. This spring, count on the McCoy family for the Kubota BX Series that you need. Stop at McCoy's Lawn and Garden today to pick up your new Kubota. Route 36 in Roaring Spring. McCoy's Lawn and Garden, helping sow the seeds for tomorrow.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Nell and Chris have hot meals to go, available throughout the day to fit your schedule. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy, or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. That's 943-MEAT. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
All right, wrapping things up here again. Don't forget, we've got our Black and Gold Breakdown show coming up in a couple of minutes. That'll be a season recap show. Kreider, Borton will be in here. Bottom line, Nathan, you got this. The best team won the national championship. Can Penn State win the national championship next year?
Next year they can. Will they? Probably not. I think they have the right pieces, but it's hard. It's hard to win a national championship.
Could Penn State win the national championship in 2026 with fifth-year senior quarterback Drew Aller? Because you know the NCAA is going to make the new rule.
Yes.
Where could Drew Aller be back in 26? 10 seconds, yes or no?
I'm going to say 2026, no. I think the next year is the best shot to do it. So
does he come back in 2026? and get $5 million? Is he going to get $5 million in
the
NFL?
It depends if he's a top five pick, I think. We'll see.
Way to go out on a limb.
Yeah.
Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona. Hank is WKMC, 1370 AM, 96.1 FM.